Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome back to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, I'd like to invite you to stay tuned because it could be the most important 30 minutes in your life. This show is called The Flatline. FLOT, F-L-O-T, is a military acronym for the Forward Line of Troops. What we try to do on this radio show is teach you the Word of God so that you can deploy in the forward compartments of your soul a protective line of troops. That's the Word of God, the 10 problem-solving devices that we speak of so often on this show. If you've never listened before, we're going to identify these 10 problem-solving devices for you. All found in the Bible, not made up by man, all found in the Bible. And when you learn them and when you use them, they act as a force that actually keeps the outside pressure of adversity from becoming the inside pressure of stress. You know adversity is inevitable because we're humans. We live in an adverse world. Adversity is inevitable, but stress is optional. Yes, adversity is what circumstances do to us, but stress is what we, in fact, do to ourselves. And so if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you have accepted Him as your Savior, God has a wonderful way for you to live. And that's called the Christian life. That's executing the Christian life, the spiritual life, learning the protocol plan of God, how it works, how it functions. And that's what this show is about. There are no agendas here. We're not trying to get anyone to join anything. We're not trying to sell anything. We're not requesting any funds. That's not what this show is about. What this show is about is accurate information. Information that will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. And then if you want to orient and adjust to the plan, you can. You have the freedom. You have the privacy to do so. But every Sunday on this radio station, you hear this show. It's an act of faith on my part because I've trusted the Lord to provide. And He always, always had. He's never failed me. And I pray for more stations, more opportunities where we can disclose this information and hopefully encourage people just like you that are listening today. Thank you so very much for giving me a few moments of your time. And I pray what I say today would be organized in such a way and encourage you in such a way that Christ would be glorified in your life. 10 problem-solving devices. That's what the show was predicated on when we began it. And we have gone out into other areas and looked at other things, but remember those 10 problem-solving devices. If you don't have a copy of them, you can always write to me and get our book, Christian Problem Solving, and there it will lay all of these 10 problem-solving devices out for you. But the first problem you and I have is the problem of sin. We're humans, and we still sin. And that's a problem, because sin breaks fellowship with God. However, the first problem-solving device is that we can rebound or recover from our sin. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we would confess our sin, then He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So even though I may have a problem with a sinful nature, Adam's original sin imputed to me, and here I am born with a sinful nature, well, there's an answer. There is a solution. I don't have to let my sinful nature control my life. I can allow God the Holy Spirit to control my life. That's problem-solving device number two, the filling of the Holy Spirit. If you allow God's Holy Spirit to control your life, then the Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the filling of the Holy Spirit is what Jesus said He would promise to do. When He said, when I go away, in John 16, He said, I'm going to send you a mentor or a tutor, and He will guide you into truth. And Paul wrote about it in Ephesians 1:13. It said we're sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. And then in Ephesians 5:18, He told us to be filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit. But we cannot be controlled by the Holy Spirit if we have sin in our life. Sin quenches the Spirit. Sin grieves the Spirit. So the secret to being filled with the Holy Spirit is you dealing with your sin moment by moment, day by day, and not letting it take root in your life. Because the moment you sin, you quench the Spirit. And the moment you rebound or confess that sin to God, then you are filled with the Spirit again. It's not some weird, some second thing that happens where you start acting totally different and never sin anymore. The filling of the Holy Spirit is just as normal as it could be for anybody. It's a way of living. It's God's empowering you to take His Word and learn it and use it. It empowers you in your prayer life. And it says the Bible teaches that we don't even know how to pray as we should, that the Spirit intercedes for us. However, if He's quenched and if He's grieved because there's unconfessed sin in your life, He's not going to be able to do that. So the second problem-solving device, filling of the Holy Spirit, solves the problem of operating in the old sin nature, because we got one. And as a Christian, you can operate one or two ways. You can operate under the filling of the Holy Spirit, or you can operate under your flesh. It's called a carnal Christian, a carnal man. And you don't want to do that. The third problem-solving device, and I'm going through these quickly because I've just spent 2 weeks on them, but it's faith rest drill. Standing on the promises of God. Claiming the promises of God to protect you, to act as a shield, to divert the enemy's fiery darts that he may fire at you. The Bible teaches this in Ephesians 6 when it says, pick up the shield of faith. And using the faith rest drill is simply you taking the promises found in the Bible and standing behind them to protect you so that your mental attitude is not assaulted, so that you don't become afraid, so that you don't become worried or fearful. These are things the faith rest drill can do for you. Can give you the courage to stand in the face of tremendous adversity and to be tested and never fail. Faith rest drill has three steps. Claim a promise, and that will stabilize you. When the adversity hits, go claim your favorite promise. And then secondly, remember some biblical rationale. Remember some doctrine about something, like if you want to remember the essence of God. You know, He's sovereign and He's righteous and He's justice. And He's love, and He's immutable, and He's veracity. He's omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. I mean, if you remember what these things are about, and so you have some adversity hit your life, and you claim a promise, and you stand on that promise, and then you go back and you say, now, God, why did you let this happen? I know You're immutable. I know You never change. I know You're omniscient. I know You knew this would happen. I know You're omnipresent. I know You're with me. So when you go through this biblical rationale, then you come to a conclusion as to why this adversity actually hit your life. Was it for blessing or was it for discipline, cursing? Why did it come into your life? Did you cause it, or did Satan manipulate you in such a way that it was brought to you? Using the faith rest drill really calms things down. And that leads us to problem-solving device number four, grace orientation. You see, we are saved by grace and we live by grace. We will die in grace and have surpassing grace in the future. God gives us logistical grace every day. Air to breathe, food to eat, clothes to wear. And then we're supposed to treat other people in grace, just like God treated us in grace. So when you learn to be grace-oriented, when you learn to operate a ministry in grace, it's a phenomenal thing. Because just like if you have if you're a minister, or if you have a ministry in grace, you don't have to beg for money. You don't have to try to sell stuff and raise money. Because you know, if God's in it, God will pay for it. So the last thing a grace-oriented minister would ever mention is money. Never bring it up, because he knows that's not an issue with God. See, grace orientation. When you're saved by grace. The Bible tells you that. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's a gift of God and not of works, lest someone should boast about it. So the first thing you learn in grace is that Jesus Christ, the anointed Son of God, paid for all of our sin, and there's nothing you can do to approbate God any further than what's already taken place on the cross. He was your substitution. He died for us. There's nothing else we could do except do what the Bible says. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He that believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. The Bible's clear about that. Even in John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the key word is always believe. So from grace orientation, we move into biblical orientation or doctrinal orientation. And this is where we begin to understand what the Bible says. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. If we're going to grow up, if we're going to be mature believers, we've got to learn what's in the Bible. It's a handbook, a textbook for us. It's a playbook. We have to understand it. God made sure you had a copy of it. And that process is called metabolizing His Word. We feast upon it. We eat it, and it energizes us. And the way that happens is in a local church, hopefully, under the authority of a great pastor, hopefully, who knows the Word of God and can teach it to you, and you apply it into your life. That's how you grow. Now, you don't always retain what you learn. Sometimes the rate of forgetting can exceed the rate of learning if you get distracted in your spiritual life. If you don't stick with it, if you wander off down the my way highway, then you may forget a good deal of what you learn. But biblical orientation gives us divine viewpoint in life so that we don't operate under human viewpoint, human thinking. And then there's the personal sense of destiny, problem solving device number 6. This is where we now know our destiny is in heaven. We now know that we are sojourners, just passing through. We don't belong here. Our heaven is our home. That's where we're headed. And we know that God has a unique plan for our life. When you understand that, then you stay out of self-absorption. You're not preoccupied with yourself because you know God has a greater plan for you. And from moving from a personal sense of destiny, we move to personal love for God, problem-solving device number 7, and problem-solving device number 8, impersonal love for others. These are tandem problem-solving devices. The Bible says we love God because He first loved us. And then the Bible says, if we say we love God and hate our brother, we're liars, and the truth is not in us. So once we learn to love God, once we understand who God is and what God is, and we learn to love Him, then we can have impersonal love for others as well, those that we might not even like, because we're loving them based on who and what God is, not who and what they are. Who and what they are may be totally obnoxious, repugnant to you, but who and what God is. You see, God loved me with impersonal love. I was repugnant to Him. I was obnoxious to Him. I was a sinner. My sin was horrible in God's eyes because He's perfect. And yet He loved me, but not with personal love. He loved me with an impersonal love. He loved me based on who He was, not based on who I was. And when I received His Son Christ as my Savior, then I was brought into the royal family of God, just like you. And now He loves us with a personal love. So don't ever get that confused. If you try to love people with personal love that are not worthy of being loved, you'll be disappointed because they'll let you down. But you love people based on who God is and who Christ is in you, not who they are. That's never the issue. Who they are is not the issue. It's who God is. That's the issue. And then we move to problem-solving device number 9, which is sharing the happiness of God. And on our last radio show, I told you that I was going to talk about this, that I was going to bring this up. Sharing the happiness of God. We call that plus H. Plus H. Plus happiness. Plus H is a wonderful problem-solving device for a mature believer, for a believer who has got a lot of doctrine in his soul. You see, plus H guarantees you that you never, ever have to be unhappy in your life. You know, people go through life unhappy so much, so often. I remember someone once asked Elvis Presley, before he passed away, years and years and years ago, they asked him this question. They said, Elvis, you said when you got rich and famous that you'd be happy. And they asked him, are you happy? And Elvis told them, no, he was actually very lonely indeed. And I always remember a friend of mine talking about having money just gave you the ability to be miserable in a different part of town. And so if you think winning the lottery is going to bring you happiness, it's wrong. If you think finding the right person to get married is going to make you happy, it's going to fulfill the emptiness in your life, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Listen to what the Bible says. In John 15:11, Jesus said, I've taught you these things so that my happiness might be in you and that your happiness might be fulfilled. It's possible for you to have the same happiness that He had. Did He have adversity? Yes. Was He maligned? Was He judged? Was He criticized? Yes. Was He murdered? Yes. Did He love those that did that to Him? Yes, He did. Did He ever lose His happiness on the cross, even for 1 minute? And the answer is no. You know, the greatest thing in anybody's life is to be in the center of God's will and know it. And our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, knew why He came to this world. He knew that He came to be substitutionary death for us. He knew He was going to die for us. He was going to pay for our sin. And even though it was a horrible death on a cross, he was happy because he was fulfilling the plan of God. And he said, I taught you these things so that my happiness might be in you. In the middle of the most extreme, unfair circumstances, you can be happy. You don't look at the circumstances. You look at the solution. That's the deal. Listen to what the Bible says in Luke 11:27-28. Jesus was interrupted by a woman when he was speaking, and she made an issue out of motherhood, and she said, I bet your mom's really happy. And this is what he said. He said, happiness belongs to those who hear my Father's words and keep them. So we know that the key to happiness is having the Word of God in your soul and applying the Word of God in every situation in your life. How do you get the Word of God in your soul? By metabolizing it. And how do you apply the Word of God? By using faith rest. And when you metabolize the Word of God on a consistent basis, in other words, you learn under the authority of a qualified pastor, and when you apply what you've learned into your life, this gives you the plus H we're talking about. It's where you don't have to look back with regrets. It's where you don't have to look back for fear that someone's going to expose you or show what your sin or your hidden secret is. You don't have to live with those sort of things. It's where your life is an open book before God and before others, and you're extremely happy. You don't carry guilt. You don't carry shame. You don't carry fear. Those are not traits of happiness. God's happiness belongs to those who hear God's word and apply it into their life. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke 11:27-28. My happiness, he said, belongs to those who hear my Father's word and keep it. If you want to hear the word of God, you get it in a church. You get it where a pastor teaches it to you. Maybe you can't go to that church face to face. Maybe you get a tape, or maybe you get a DVD or an MP3, and that's fine. As long as you're hearing the teaching of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit then has tools to work with in your life and to bring about this great happiness. In the Old Testament, Proverbs 3:13 speaks of this same sort of happiness. It says that happiness belongs to the person who finds wisdom, even to the person who gains understanding. Wisdom, that's the Word of God. That's what Proverbs is about, spiritual wisdom from Solomon. Great wisdom, great understanding. When you have the Word of God in your soul, that wisdom is called Sophia in the New Testament. It's the Word of God on the launching pad of your soul, ready to be fired off in a minute's notice, ready to be extracted from your stream of consciousness and used and applied into your life on just a second's notice. Bam, something happens, and all of a sudden you revert back to the Word of God, and you know now why it happened. You see it clearly, and you have understanding as to what's going on. There's nothing worse than to not understand something. People told me one time there are three types of folks: those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who say, what happened? Are you like that? Are you wandering around saying, what happened? Do you even understand your predicament or your situation before God? There are three types of happiness we can talk about. Negative H, not plus H, negative H. Negative H is the happiness that you or me, that we try to find through some system in life. You're like, oh, if I could just win the lottery. Oh boy, if I could win that lottery. Boy, I could pay off all my debts and pay off my children's debts and buy new cars for everybody and get a new house, and we'd really be happy. That's called negative H. You see, that sort of happiness may bring some sort of temporary relief, but it's not the same as having plus H. Plus H, well, that's a different deal altogether. This minus H, many people have won the lottery and found that they still have problems, just in different areas. So minus H. And then we have just plain old H, neutral H. And this is about all the happiness the non-Christian has going for him. He may find it in business or in marriage, but at best it's short and it's always unfulfilled. And then there's plus H. Plus H. That's God's happiness. That's the happiness that's substantial. That's the happiness that stays with you. That's the happiness that even Jesus Christ our Lord had on the cross. In Hebrews 12:2, you can see about it. You can read it for yourself. He endured the shame and for the joy that was set before him. The joy that set before him was fulfilling the plan of God for his life. And as I told you before, there's nothing more fulfilling than you knowing that you're being in the center of God's will. The only thing that could bring about Christ's happiness in the middle of that crucifixion was knowing that. Knowing that he was fulfilling the will of his Father. Knowing that the plan had come together. And knowing that his death was going to buy the freedom of millions and millions of people who would trust and believe in him. Now, you and I, we may have to go through some sort of undeserved suffering. But we can have the same sort of happiness that Jesus had. The same sort of plus H. We just can't get bitter. We can't get angry when people mistreat us. We can't seek revenge. We have to use the faith rest drill, stand behind the promises of God. We cannot get full of self-pity and get arrogant and self-absorbed and begin to malign those people that did this to us or criticize those people that said that about us. That's not what the Bible teaches. In Philippians 4:4, Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord." And again, I say, always rejoice. Plus H, sharing the happiness of God. Having this happiness that I'm talking about, it's characterized by basically four things. Number one, having a tranquility in your soul. That means you're at peace inside. You don't have panic and you don't have fear. You just trust in God's plan, his perfect plan. That's the first characteristic of having plus H, the happiness of God. The second characteristic is contentment. Contentment, what does that mean? It means you're satisfied with what you have. You're not in the frantic search for happiness. You're satisfied with who you are. You are under contentment, and you realize that happiness is not related to people or circumstances, and so you're not a slave to the details of life. You're not chasing that elusive mirage called success and happiness. You're not going to find it. You're not going to catch it. Until you understand what Jesus said, happiness belongs to the people who hear my Father's word and keep it. So the second characteristic of plus H is contentment. Third characteristic is called capacity for life. Capacity for life. What is that? Well, capacity comes from contentment. Let me explain how it works. If you're content and you tell the Father, "I don't need anything to make me happy." Well, then God can give you stuff without it distracting you. You see, as God begins to pour into your life blessings, if you didn't have contentment with who you are and what you are, the blessings would distract you. You would not have the capacity to handle the blessings. So if you say, for example, "I want to win the lottery," well, maybe God would want you to win the lottery. Maybe there's nothing wrong with that. But if you don't have the capacity to handle the money, then it would destroy you. So the capacity is this. I don't need winning the lottery to make me happy. I don't need money to make me happy. I don't need money to fulfill my life. That's capacity and contentment. So once you're content like that, once you're content to be happy, whatever your circumstances, just like Paul said, "I've learned to have a lot, I've learned to have a little, doesn't make any difference to me, it doesn't affect my happiness." You see, if you have that sort of contentment, that is capacity for life. And from that capacity comes blessing. But lack of contentment without being distracted is impossible. You'll get your eyes on the gift and you'll forget who the giver is. So if you're not content and God tried to give you some great and wonderful gift, you'd look at the gift. You wouldn't look at the giver. You would think you were so lucky and you would think this, that, and the other. You would forget all about God because you wouldn't have the capacity to handle that sort of gift. So this is what plus H is. You have tranquility of soul and contentment and capacity for life. And then lastly, you have stimulation and enthusiasm. This means that you have the ability to motivate yourself now, coming from within. You don't have to sit around waiting on someone to come along and take you somewhere so you can be happy. You can take the initiative yourself, and you can provide your own stimulation, your own enjoyment, your own hobby, your own whatever it is. You don't have to wait on someone else to make you happy. You have that inner ability to motivate yourself and get up and go and do without having to have someone take you somewhere. You have enthusiasm for life. You have stimulation, capacity, contentment, and great tranquility in your soul. These are all characteristics sharing the happiness of God. And this leads us to the 10th and final problem-solving device called occupation with Christ. Occupation with Christ solves the problem of not being loved the way you want to be loved. A lot of people are like that. They want to be loved in a certain way, and they want to be treated in a certain way, but it's not happening. And the reason is they have some unrealistic expectations about life. They don't have the Word of God. They don't have the problem-solving devices. And it's inevitable that they're going to be frustrated and great, great instability in their life. But when you're occupied with Christ, this problem is solved because our priorities then become our Christian life. See, the Bible tells us we're not to seek our encouragement from people, but rather to seek our encouragement from Christ. It talks about that in Philippians chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2. If you want to read that, you can. Philippians 2, 1 and 2. It says, if there is any consolation in Christ, if there is any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any tender mercies and compassion, then fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. So, is there a consolation in Christ? Is there a comfort of love? Yes. When we're occupied with Christ, we are doing exactly what Paul wrote here. We are having fellowship. We're having tender mercies and compassion and joy in our life because we're occupied with Jesus Christ. The emphasis, when a person is occupied with Christ, the emphasis in his life becomes God, not self, not people, but God. That's his priority. God makes a direct positive demand on your volition to be occupied with Christ. It is completely in the Bible, fulfilled, written out. You can read it for yourself in 1 Peter. As you go through the Bible, you can read it for yourself in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. And it talks about you being occupied with Jesus Christ. I'm going to try to read it for you now. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Sanctify the Lord God in you that is in your hearts. That's Jesus Christ. Set him aside. Set him apart. And you will follow him. He will be your Lord, your Savior. He becomes your role model. Peter said this way, even though you haven't seen him, in 1 Peter 1:8, you love him. That's right. And you rejoice because you believe in him. That's occupation with Jesus Christ. It is the greatest problem-solving device you could ever have. To love him, to be occupied with him, and to serve him. It's an amazing life using these 10 problem-solving devices. If you'd like a copy, don't hesitate to contact me. We'll send you the book absolutely free, no charge ever, and it will encourage you. Until next week, thank you for listening. And again, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for being with me here on the Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.